first of all, I feel honored to be here today to meet with you all. I notice a number of you are against, conceptually at least, the idea of a constitutional convention. Guess what? So am I. What I'm very much for is a single issue amendment convention. So what we're talking about here, and there's a process that you will learn during the course of this, that it is feasible. Matter of fact, it is very doable through a process that we will explain very briefly, to set up a single issue amendment convention. In this case, we're talking about a single issue balance the budget amendment for the specific purpose of trying to impose some financial discipline in Washington before this country, before it's too late. And you will quickly see when I've gone through some numbers that too late really isn't that far away. Let me begin by, I wrote a book, Money, Power, and Elections. I'm not an academic. I'm a CPA by training. I have an MBA in finance. I wrote this book, and it was published by LSU Press, which for me was important because I didn't want it to be a political book. I wanted it to be a research study. And this book will explain to you why the Supreme Court has fundamentally destroyed the fundamental guts of the American Constitution. And I want to give you just one example so that you can begin to understand. The First Amendment up here, you all should know it. The First Amendment specifically says, Congress shall make no laws abridging freedom of speech. Is there anybody that doesn't understand that? Except somebody on the Supreme Court. All right? What the Supreme Court did, and this is very basic, back in 1976, in their Buckley-Valeo decision, they came, and it's 150 pages long, so you got to dig. Basically, the in the interest of preventing, whatever you push here, preventing the corruption, the appearance of corruption, even if the corruption is, look at that word, imagined. So even if there's some corruption that is imagined, they're saying that it was fine to destroy the First Amendment. Now, an imagined corruption can neither be proven nor disproven. So what they're really saying is mythical suppositions or foolish fantasies are a justification for the Supreme Court to basically change the fundamental tenets of the Constitution. So if they're willing to do this in this particular case, what's the wording of the Constitution worth anyways? They can change it to mean anything they want. It's important that you understand it. And to make matters worse, they even admit in the opinion that they're marginally trimming free speech. So what the Supreme Court basically does is treat the Constitution like an empty vessel that they can pour any meaning into that they want. So anybody that hears say any illusions that we're operating under the Constitution needs to come to Washington and watch how they operate, because they can basically say anything they want. All right. Why would I start with this as a basis of worried about our financial situation? The reason being, campaign finance reform, between campaign finance reform, gerrymandering, and incumbents' preoccupation with enriching entitlements to buy votes, what you have is fundamentally an entrenchment in Congress where most incumbents are impervious to defeat. You can't beat them, all right? Specific case in point, in 2010, there were 65 congressional districts that went from Democrat to Republican. Of those races, the 65 Democrats that were beaten, on average, you could define them as moderate. The Democrats that lost were moderate. The Republicans that won were either conservative or ultra-conservative. The Democrats that survived were either liberal or ultra-liberal. And so in the House of Representatives, what you have is virtual deadlock, which you see on a daily basis, and it's not going to change. By the nature of the way they've gerrymandered these districts, you basically stand up and say you're the left-wing nut in a certain place or a right-wing nut, and it doesn't change. In the Senate, the convoluted rules that the Senate operates under basically make it next to impossible to get anything through the Senate of any consequence. For example, it's been well over 1,000 days since they've ever passed a budget proposal. And so that's gridlock. So you've got both houses of Congress that aren't going to pass anything. Given that gridlock, the only way that the American people have any shot at solving this impending financial crisis, which is, to convene, in my judgment, a single-issue amendment convention, be it a balance the budget, or you can call it a physical responsibility, whatever the right name is, that's the only shot you've got. Here are the facts. Today, there's no question we're in trouble. We got a $15 trillion dollar budget deficit. Those are bonds. In the GAO or the GAO's own 2011 long-term proposal, they basically say the growing increase in the deficits is certain to cause a sudden financial crisis, but they can't predict it. They can't calculate it, so they don't account for it. To make matters worse, David Walker, the former Comptroller General of GAO, has written a book. It's called Come Back America. And in there, he estimates, there's something like $46 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And that number could just as easily be $60 trillion, depends on what assumptions you want to make. But he, the man that knows and has written a book on it, says it's $46 trillion. So when you take $15 trillion, $46 trillion, add them together, you come up with round numbers, $60 trillion. The gross national product of the entire world is only $70 trillion. So you're talking about today this country being in debt to the tune of what the whole world produces. Just to give you some sense, so because you got to keep everything in some sort of sense of proportion. A billion seconds ago, because what's a billion? What's a trillion? A billion seconds ago is roughly 32 years. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years. So when you're talking a billion and a trillion, you're talking the difference between 32 years, 32,000 years. That's significant, all right? The problem in D.C. is one of your buddies who is also an economist, Jamie Galbraith, has come up with this new theory called modern monetary theory. And what it basically says is deficits don't matter. So he's sitting up there, and these congressmen say, it doesn't matter. As a consequence, there's no urgency in Congress to deal with this problem because they don't see it as a problem. Basically, what it says is General Motors first started paying retirement benefits in 1950. As an accountant, they were considered immaterial, so they weren't even booked. By 1992, the accountants had changed their mind. They needed to be booked. And so you'll see General Motors had to spend or take $33 billion and declare it a liability, take it right out of their revenues. That was 30% of their income that year. 17 years later, General Motors goes bankrupt because of these debts. All right? You look down here at the bottom, you'll see that the Treasury Department does not consider Social Security or Medicare as permanent debts. They, in theory, they could be rescinded. And because in theory they could be rescinded, the Treasury Department doesn't recognize them on an annual basis. Had the Treasury Department recognized just those two items, last year the deficit wouldn't have been $1.3 million. The deficit would have been $4.2 trillion. Simply by recognizing that the way any company would have to recognize it. All right, so Congress, the truth of the matter is, Congress, congressmen, senators are preoccupied with winning re-election. They are not preoccupied with solving the country's perceived financial problems because they don't see it as a problem because Galbraith has told them deficits don't matter. Now, if you believe that, I'll show you something in just a minute that'll seriously change your mind. So the facts of the matter are in terms of, in November last year, the Congressional Supercommittee couldn't come to an agreement on how to cut $1.2 trillion out of the budget. So that went by the byway. The House failed to pass a balance the budget amendment. They failed on the Simpson-Bowl amendment. Back in the 90s, Senator Sam Nunn pushed for a balance the budget amendment in the Senate 3 years in a row, and it was defeated. Last December, the Senate again knocked down two separate balance the budget proposals. Since 1970, Congress, at the request of the Treasury and the President, have increased the national debt 71 times. And we just saw that last fiasco last year. So if you've got any wonders about where our country stands, come to the reality that we're sitting on a financial time bomb. Nobody knows when it's going to blow, but it's pretty sure it's going to blow, and it's going to blow soon. And the structural nature of Congress has gotten so out of sync that it can't deal with the problem. So here, we're going to get to the heart of the matter. What I've done here, at the top, this is last year's federal government. $2.1 trillion in revenue, incomprehensible number. Spent 3.8, the deficit was 1.6, the national debt's $15 trillion, and the unfunded liabilities is $46 trillion. And when you hear these congressmen standing up patting themselves on the back on how many cuts they've made, they're talking $38 billion. Now, what I've done here is eliminate 8 zeros to try and put it in a perspective that you or your family can understand. So pretend for a second that this is your family, all right? Your family makes $21,700 a year. Your family spends $38,200 a year. Your family charges $16,500 on its credit card. So your current credit card balance is $154,000. And you've got a bunch of other obligations that are totally unfunded for $469,000. In round numbers, you are making $21,000 a year, and you've got $650,000 in debt. Now, in fairness, I think that David Gordon, when I showed this to him, mentioned that, well, that looked like it, like his home, household budget. So maybe it looks like yours. It doesn't look like mine. The GAO's own projection, this is what they're willing to write down, that by 2024, 2025, the government's income will not be enough to fund interest entitlements, period. That's their own wording. And if you talk to anybody in Congress that knows what's going on, the situation's infinitely worse. And there's only one way, possibly, that this can be changed. And that's by convening a single-issue balance the budget amendment so that you all that are against that need to come up with an alternative. Thank you.